Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, publisher of Being Incandescent Business Magazine, and your host for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. Hi, this is Hope Gibbs. Welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network. We are here today with truly amazing woman, Jo Packham, the creator, editor, and chief of Where Women Create, Where Women Cook, and her newest publication, Where Women Create Business. She's been a leading innovator in the handmade publishing market for more than 30 years. A successful entrepreneur with her own publishing company, WWC Press, she's currently partnering with Stampington and Company to produce the best-selling magazines, Where Women Create, Inspiring Workspaces of Extraordinary Women, and Where Women Cook, The Heart and Soul of Cooking, and Where Women Create Business, A Passion for Success. Jo has personally authored more than 40 titles, including her best-selling ones, Where Women Create, Where Women Create the Book of Organization, and Where Women Celebrate, and you have to help me with this one, Piography. All right.
Piography, yes.
I love it. I love it. Okay, welcome to the show, Jo. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for the invitation. It is an honor.
Well, we are just so excited to talk more about your incredible company. So tell us, how did you get started in this venture?
Oh my gosh, it's a 30-year journey that is a series of happenstance. I think throwing the spaghetti at the wall, being in the right place at the right time, and not being afraid to take advantage of the opportunity. The magazine actually started with a stranger over lunch with an agreement and a handshake, and we stood up and announced. It was that simple.
That's amazing. So tell us about your market, Women Who Create.
Women Who Create are what we consider artisans in every field, whether it be food or business or the arts, handmade, the craft. We feel that women are creative in all aspects of their life, and some of them have special places where they do it, like a studio or an office or a warehouse, and some of them simply do it at the kitchen table. So in all of our magazines, we give the women the opportunity to tell their story in their own words. They write the stories themselves, and we don't edit. We correct their English and their spelling, but we don't correct their punctuation and the way, the phraseology that they use. We give them the opportunity to tell their story the way they want to tell it in the words they want to tell it, and it's the creative journey. What's important to them, how they got there, where they want to go, the problems, the victories, all those kinds of things. It's a very unusual business model for magazines.
It really is. And how big is your readership?
It depends on the issues. We follow a book model, not a magazine model, so you have to compare us to best-selling books, not magazines, because there's a difference in the way magazines count their numbers depending on their advertisers. So we're between about 50 to 150,000 an issue, which is like if you published a book your first month, you would sell 50,000 copies. Third month, you would sell 150,000.
That's amazing. So you sell these at Michael's, is that correct, and some other places?
We sell them at all the major bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all those places. We also sell them at all the DIY stores, Michael's, Joann's, Hobby Lobby, lots and lots of independent retailers, and then the food magazine is sold at Whole Foods and all of the major grocery store outlets.
And the publications are absolutely exquisite. The production quality is incredible. The photography is amazing. How do you make that happen each month?
We make that happen because we're a book model, because we consider ourselves keepers or collectibles and not a regular disposable type of magazine. So we spend more on the production than magazines do. We work with really small staffs. We consider ourselves very frugal and conservative. And we don't have advertising. The advertising you see in the magazines is actually advertising that is worked through relationship with the people that we feature, trying to help a new entrepreneur get her feet on the ground, trying to promote an event for another entrepreneur. So as a book model, it allows us more leeway in the feel of the magazine, and other than, you know, more expensive paper, nicer cover, that kind of thing.
Impressive, definitely. So tell us about some of the typical women that you profile in this publication. For instance, tell us about the cover story of the current issue.
I wish I could say they were typical. I think the only running thread through everybody that we feature is that everyone has a story. And so a lot of the people, we don't scout like most magazines do. What happens to us is when we started, I go on every single photo shoot because I believe in building a community of women. And to build a community, they need to know me and they need to understand the magazine. And then we'll go on a photo shoot and someone will say, oh, you need to feature so-and-so, or I have a friend who has a great story, or there's a woman who's an artist in our town that really does beautiful work in a beautiful space. So the thread is that we're all part of a community. We all have a story. We all want to share. We're all creative, but we're all so very different, which is why the magazine is so interesting.
That is very true. And it's so interesting how women band together. That we get our cover stories very similarly for Be Incandescent magazine. It's, I say, whoever walks in front of me at the time, because there are so there's so much good stuff going on out there that you really want to you know, capture it and honor it. But I also find it interesting that women can play together so beautifully, but they can also not sometimes. So have you bumped up against anything like that in the business?
Oh, I have to say yes. I mean, you're right. Women can be so supportive of one another and go the extra mile and do things that you never anticipated. And then they can walk through the front door and be so protective and vindictive that it's startling. You know, you think, why would you do that? But I think every time they do that, it's because in their own mind they're protecting something that they feel is very valuable or vital. They don't do it just out of meanness, at least the vast majority. I think that they want to help each other. I truly believe that if we don't all work together as independents, that we cannot survive in this world. It's too big. Moves too fast for all of us, right? So if we don't put together a team and help each other, then we are all just lost on the road somewhere, you know, trying to find our way. So, yes, they're bumps. They're the best and the worst.
Right. And I call it the collaboration crisis, where everyone wants to, you know, that's all mine. And I think that's really an old model. And I'm excited to know you and our friend at the Costco Connection, Stephanie Ponder, who's been an editor of mine for ages, connected us, which I am so eternally grateful for. Because the more cool women that we can pull together who are collaborators, I think the stronger the community is as a whole.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, you know, 10 of us. That's why I always do books that are a collaboration, that are never written by just me, because I feel like if there are 20 of us or 30 of us promoting each other, our audience is, you know, exponentially larger than just me trying to promote me. I mean, you know, really? That's way too hard. So, yeah, I think we all need to work together in our own way and yet learn to be independent so that we can progress at our own rate, so that we don't have to progress at the rate of those who are helping us. So it's kind of the best of both worlds if we can make it work.
It is. And as you say that, I'm thinking it's the new competition model, right? So I explain it in my book, PR Rule is the Playbook, where we profile. It's actually the Lucky Eight. So it's eight sections with eight interviews in each one with experts in different fields, and also eight case studies and our eight steps to PR success. But in the beginning of the book, we talk about the trifecta of small business failure, which is the three mistakes that we see every small business make, whether they're startups or solopreneurs or multimillion-dollar companies. And that is that they want to do it all by themselves. And we just don't see that as an effective model for sustainability. And the second piece is that they're winmeisters. You know, they think that for them to win, well, the old school model was that somebody needed to lose. But now it's, you know, if you don't win, and then if you win, I win, and the world win, then that's just something that I think people should go forward with. But if at any point that's a broken connection, then it's not a good business decision. So what do you think about that idea about winning in this world of business?
Oh, I think you're right on. And I think you're much more articulate and much wiser than I. I mean, you say it perfectly. I just have kind of always done it intuitively. And I don't express myself the way you do. You're very, very good at it. But I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's just that, you know, the world is changing, and the world is changing so fast that if we don't change with it and keep up with it, we just get left. And to do that, we can't do it by ourselves. You are so right. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I win, you lose. It can be we all win on our own level, in our own category. We just need to help each other get there. But it's a hard model because there's a lot of old school still out there, right? And a lot of insecurity. Insecurity feeds that kind of destruction in partnerships because you can talk yourself into anything. I sit at home at night and think, oh my hell, why aren't I doing that? Or why didn't I think of that? Or, you know, that was my idea and they're taking credit for it. And you can't do that. You know, you've got to get outside of yourself and look at the greater good.
Definitely. And I think, you know, that goes back to what we were just saying about the competition model where, you know, women are good at this and bad at this at the same time. I was at an event this weekend and all the women in the room were sort of like kind of a little catty. And I was thinking, what is that about? And I've been thinking about it a lot. You know, what about me inspired that reaction? And I didn't really feel like I needed to change myself, but it was fascinating to me. And I think that when women get together in a group, that kind of alpha stuff comes out, or I'm not good enough, and those insecurities rise to the surface. But in your publications, you really do a beautiful job of showing off the beauty of each woman. And so tell us a little bit more about how you go about doing that. What exactly is the process?
We're very easy to work with, and I insist on it being a lot of fun and absolutely no drama. So I give no direction. People ask me all the time, you know, what do you want me to write about? How do you want me to say it? All of that. I give no direction. It's your choice to tell the story that you want to tell, which is why they get much more personal and much more passionate and intimate. I mean, the things they tell sometimes I'm like, oh my hell. And then we go on the photo shoot. I always go. I try to work with their photographers because they're comfortable with them and because photographers have a style as much as the women we feature. So we want every article in every magazine to be very individual. The only continuity is that it's written by them, about them. So we use their graphics, we use their colors, they pick their photography, they write their article. It's their opportunity, if they had their very own magazine, to do exactly what they want to do it. And and then I leave, and the editors take over and, you know, lay it out. We send it for approval. Every single person in our magazines has to sign off and say it's absolutely perfect. Because I don't want anyone to ever say, I hated the photographs they used, they misrepresented what I said, you know, I wish I had never done that. I don't want that to ever be their experience with us. Mm-hmm. And it's actually more work because people say, oh, that must be so much easier. And I think, no, actually, because what happens is if we let you write your article, you write it. And then you think, oh, I wish I would have said this, right? Or I wish I hadn't said this. So we send it for your approval. You mark it all up and change it. Then we get ready to send it for final approval. And you think, oh, I really need to talk about this. And so you change it. So it's that constant trying to make it better kind of thing. You know, so we go right down to the wire sometimes, changing things right before we go to press so that somebody will sign off on it so that they're comfortable with what they said and the way they said it.
I feel your pain. In the September issue of our magazine, we interviewed 24 people, and that was fun.
Yeah, it is painful. I mean, it's fabulous, but nothing is easy. Nothing worth having is easy. I just tell people that. You know what? It just, I think they take it with the English language. Because it's non-existent. When was the last time you did anything that was easy?
No, never. I made a cup of coffee this morning.
Really? I can't even use my new curling iron right. Even it is not easy. I mean, everything is complicated.
Oh, it's so true. But that's the right attitude, you know, that, you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well.
I agree. I think people get lazy these days or distracted or I don't know. I mean, you know what it is. They're not focused on any one thing long enough to do it well anymore, seems to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Everyone needs to meditate and do yoga, right?
They do, and get off of their phones. You know, the tweeting and the texting and the Facebooking. And we were on a photo shoot yesterday, and I just wanted to scream at the end. I thought, you guys, pay attention to what's going on here, you know, because they're all tweeting and they're all texting and they're all Instagramming and they're all foursquaring and they're all, and I'm like, oh my, oh, let's do that when we're done, shall we? But distracted.
That's so interesting. And what that's actually repatterning our brains, all this constant not being able to focus on one task at a time. So there is a discipline to being successful.
I agree. You know, and old school research says that you can only focus on one thing at a time. So if you're listening to the radio, you're either listening to the radio or you're focusing on your schoolwork. And this generation today disagrees with that, you know, adamantly, that they can't study unless the radio's on, or, you know, they can do their job and tweet and text and all of that at the same time. And I am still pretty old school. I am still like, you know what, you need to focus on what you're doing for a minute and then refocus on something else.
I love it. My son tells me, he's 14, and he says, you know, to do my homework really well and really fast, I go into the bathroom because there's nothing to distract me.
Well, he is an old soul.
He is an old soul, man. He is. So tell us more about these three publications that you have. So How Women Create, now How Women Cook, how does that one work?
Well, it's the same. What happened was my background is handmade arts and crafts. So Where Women Create was actually a book that was very, very successful for me, very successful. And so it spawned the magazine. And then I was on a photo shoot. You know, I travel all over. I started to see this whole movement with food at the farmers markets, you know, the small restaurants that were popping up, the gourmet food shows. We saw, instead of the handmade artisans, we saw jam makers and salsa makers and the beekeepers. And so I was actually on a photo shoot with Magnolia Pearl in Texas, and she's raw vegan, and walked into her magnificent kitchen with all these fresh vegetables, and I looked at my photographer and I said, we're staying an extra day, and we're going to photograph the first piece for Where Women Cook, because this is genius. And that's what started that one. I mean, it was that easy. I just saw the rise in the popularity of food, and not only just health-wise, which is definitely part of the magazine, but the party givers and the organic growers and the beauty of it all. And every woman has always been, I mean, kitchen's the heart of the home, right? It's where we all go. So, and what we try to focus on in the food magazine is not that it has to be that designer kitchen that is so fabulous with all the latest and greatest of everything. I mean, it's the small kitchens of the, you know, of the mommy bloggers who make their dining room table into a light box and those kinds of things. So we try to tell the true story, the real story of the people. Of course, yes, we have the big fabulous kitchens because they're the dream. We all have the dream. But 10 of the 12 articles are always about real people like you and me who don't have, you know, a whole set of La Crusade or don't cook on a Viking range or all those kinds of things. We just do what we do where we do it. And we're happy and we're good at it. So that's the food magazine.
That is so cool. And then in January, I believe, you started the business magazine. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so that I was nervous about. We weren't sure that the audience was big enough for a quarterly magazine. But what I am a big business magazine junkie. My entire life, I read, instead of when I go to the airport, instead of buying People and Vogue and those, I buy Inc. and Entrepreneur and Harvard Review and all those business magazines. I don't know, a couple of years ago, so I'm buying all my magazines, and you see this gradual shift of everything going from entrepreneurs to the world of technology. It's all about who's developing what app for the internet, who's writing which program, and if they feature entrepreneurs or if they feature women, you have to be one of the 50 most powerful women in America. Or you have to have a business that does, you know, $100 million a year. Well, my world of business, even with as big as we seem to people, we're independent publishers who compete against Hearst and, you know, the big boys, all those, you know, Meredith Corp, all those really big magazines. And all of a sudden, there were no resources for us. There was no one to tell us the ins and outs of our credit score and how it can affect us or how I calculate my inventory or if I'm a new store owner, what FOB means or all those little things that used to be covered in business magazines. And so I said to Stampington, to Kellen Giloff, my publisher, I said, you know, there is a huge world out there of smallers who need basic help, who worry about making payroll every month, who worry about their cash flow, who don't know how fast to grow because they're growing themselves broke. You know, those kinds of questions and answers. And so we decided to do two issues in 2013. Well, both issues completely flew off the newsstands, totally sold out within 2 weeks, which for a quarterly $15 publication is pretty much unheard of. So I think there is a much bigger audience out there than we ever dreamed of, even if it's only the small entrepreneur who wants to sell vegetables from her garden at the farmer's market or wants an Etsy shop or it doesn't have to be big business. You know, it's small. It's a little extra income. It's a passion. They're retired. We have a huge audience of women whose husbands are retired, and they're retired, and they have time, and they don't want to go back into the business world, but they want to do something, you know. So, and they want to know where to start because it's a whole new world for them.
Fascinating. I love that you're tapping these wonderful niches and helping women who accomplish their dreams. What kind of feedback do you get from the women when they meet you?
It depends on the day. Some days I walk in and I've forgotten my business cards and I don't have my schedule and my phone's in the car somewhere and they look at me and they say, you know, it's really nice to know you're just human. And some days I'm really organized and I'm right on it, you know, and I think they're a little bit more impressed with my business skills. But it kind of depends on how long I've been on the road and where we're going. I am pretty, I'm a small town homegrown girl who didn't go to Harvard, whose dad wasn't a banker. I mean, my dad worked on the railroad. I graduated from a small college. You know, my mom and dad had a terrific work ethic, but No education to speak of, no great dreams, no, none of that. I don't know where mine comes from, and I am probably the most insecure person I know. I think, you know, I go into these, I speak on these panels, and they're Harvard graduates, and they have degrees from MIT, and they're the president of a, you know, $100 million organization, and I think, really? And I can't figure out why I'm there, you know, because I'm just everybody. I just talk a little louder and a little faster is all, and I represent them. So I'm terribly insecure, which is why I would never assume that I could tell somebody how to write a story or which photography to choose or what is important to them. I mean, that's why I let them choose. I mean, who am I? Mm-hmm. I really feel like that. So I'm just lucky. I think I've done the most that someone can do with what they're given. And I'm very proud of myself, you know. But will I ever be great? I don't think so. You know, just good enough to understand that other people are greater than I am and they need to be recognized. That's kind of my philosophy.
Well, humility and empowering others is, talk about old souls and great gifts. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, what an honor.
Well, it's an honor to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to doing more work with you and your amazing women, your amazing company, Where Women Create. So we are here today talking to Joe Pakman, the first of many conversations to come in the following months and years. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, thank you for the opportunity.
You are listening to the Incandescent Radio Network, the Truly Amazing Women Show. We are talking to Joe Pakman of Where Women Create. Stay tuned for more. Thanks for your time. So that's it for today's Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, send me an email to hope@hopegibbs.com. Check back every Monday at noon for a new episode of the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, www.incandescentradio.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.